It is Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to have fun here today. It's going to be nutty, like Ron said. Here, I'm going to make a deal with you, though. We will be fun and nutty only if you're new, you promise to come back next week, because this is not how it will normally be, all right? So let's just throw that out there. In that spirit, let's pray and ask God to do something cool today. God, I bless you that you are actually a God who, you're not anti-fun, you're pro-fun. And so I bless you today that you're good to us. Help us to hear what we need to hear from you today and to follow you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Super Bowl is today. The NFL estimates that roughly 400 million Americans will watch the game, and there are only 330 million Americans. So if you're going to a Super Bowl party, you might be having snacks at the Super Bowl party. I found this picture. Look, someone made this crazy stadium of snacks. Isn't that nutty? So crazy. When you go to a Super Bowl party and you go to the snacks, isn't it usually a wild collection of things? Like someone brought Oysters Rockefeller, and someone made a cake. Someone made nachos. Some single guy brought a half-eaten can of corn. It's just across the board. You never know what to expect. And so it's, oh, I'll take some of this, some of this, some of this. The only thing in common is that we're all here to have some snacks and watch the game and watch these guys get long-term brain injuries. It got dark all of a sudden. But the snacks, they're not really connected, and yet there's something for everybody. And that's a little what we're going to do today. So we're going to walk through a bunch of Bible stories today. And this one might not be for you, but this one might be for you. And we're going to see what we can grab from it, okay? This is all Super Bowl snacks from the Bible to some degree. And I'm not telling the famous Bible stories. I'm not telling Noah and Jonah. I'm not telling the famous ones. I'm telling the lesser known ones. The ones you get to and go, oh, I don't know what to do with this. And so our hope is that as you read your Bible at home and you come across stories, maybe there's a way that you can find a lens through which you can see God in every single story, because there's a reason that every single story is in the Bible. So here's our Bible. These are all the books of the Bible, except it pointed out to me at the last service, except for one. So it was Judges, and I skipped it. So anyway, we're going to jump right into 2 Kings. So in 2 Kings, let me set the stage. God has the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel, God's people, he is working with them, and they keep having new kings who run the nation of Israel. But over time, the kings get more and more falling away from God. And so what God would do is he would find someone, he would choose someone to be his prophet. And that word prophet just means they hear what God is saying and communicate it to the people or to that king. So there's this one prophet named Elijah. Let's all say his name. 1, 2, 3. Elijah. Very important, because we're going to have a little distinction here in a moment. Elijah, who we'll talk more about a little bit later. But Elijah was this powerful prophet who God would do amazing miracles through to communicate to the nation of Israel. Well, there came a time where Elijah's time was done, and God was telling him, hey, I'm going to take you up into heaven, so I want a successor for you, someone who's going to follow in your footsteps and do some of the amazing things that you have done. And so this is a little confusing, but Elijah's successor was Elisha. So let's all say Elijah. 1, 2, 3. Elisha. Great. So Elijah goes and finds this guy, Elisha, who at the time is running a plow out in the field. And he says, come follow me. Basically, you're going to do what I do. And so Elisha leaves behind the plow, leaves behind his family, and goes and follows Elijah. As they're going along, he sees Elijah, God do amazing miracles through Elijah. And one of them is Elijah takes off, they get to the River Jordan, this big river, and they have to cross it. And so Elijah takes off his cloak, rolls it up, touches the River Jordan, and the river parts right there, and they walk across on dry land. So they get across to the other side, and it's time for Elijah to go up and be with God. It's a strange thing, but he's going to go up and be with God. And so Elijah turns to Elisha and says, hey, is there anything I can leave you with? Anything I can leave behind? And Elisha says, here's what I'd like. Since I'm going to be following your footsteps, I'd like a double portion of your spirit. Meaning, God has put some sort of awesome sauce on you. I want double the awesome sauce. I want whatever God has put on you in the power and in your confidence, whatever God's given you, I want double that. So Elijah says, you got it. You'll know you have that if you actually see me taken up into heaven to be with God. So Elijah goes, okay. Well, sure enough, a couple days later, all of a sudden, there are flames in the sky. It is a flaming chariot with flaming horses. Our Bible has weird stories. Flaming chariot, flaming horses going across the sky, and Elijah, it goes up in the whirlwind into like a tornado, right up and right, and he's gone. And all that's left floating down out of nowhere, all that's left on the ground is Elijah's cloak, kind of like after Obi-Wan dies. So there's his cloak sitting on the ground. And Elijah saw it all, and he's like, I saw it. So that must mean I have this double portion. So he takes the cloak, rolls it up, walks back to the Jordan River, touches it, and of course, beep, the river parts. So Elisha, kind of put yourself in Elisha's position. God has called Elisha to something big. And let me pause here and say, for y'all, I bet all of us in 2020, God is calling you towards something big, something that he wants you to face down, something he wants you to go towards, something growing in the kingdom, in your marriage, in your family, in your relationship, whatever that is. I want you to kind of have that in mind today. And God, so like Elisha, God has called Elisha to something big. And I don't know, but if I'm Elisha, I'm feeling a little unconfident. Like, I don't know how this is going to go. Who knows? But okay, I'm gonna push forward. So I need a volunteer. Anybody out there? Christopher was out here. Right? Christopher, where are you? Come on up. Okay, let's hear for Christopher. I talked to Christopher. Christopher has no clue what we're going to do, 49ers or Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Okay, good. Okay, we went with Chiefs. So here's the deal. He's gonna want you to step over here for us. Okay, Christopher. And I'm Elisha. And so I'm walking along and, you know, trying to go, I want to feel confident about what I got going. I'm going to go towards big things here. And all of a sudden, he's walking on this path and there is, Christopher represents this big horde of like teenagers, maybe a little older teenagers, ne'er-do-well ruffians. Like these are rough guys. These are switchblade guys with the greased hair and the, you know, when you're a jet kind. So this whole crew has stopped him right in this path. And and so here's what these guys, this group of guys, say to Elisha. Now, hold the card. And I want you to yell it at me, okay? You ready, Christopher? What do they say?
Going up, you old baldy.
Okay, it doesn't say baldy. You added. No, I'm kidding, it does. That's what these guys say. They say, go on up, meaning something like, why don't you die like Elijah did? Oh, Elijah went up in the sky. Why don't you get out of here? And then they add, it's right there in the Bible. It literally says, you old baldy. And this is why Elisha's the, you know, patron saint of thinning hair. It's awful. It's like not only die, but like, yeah, you know, hair. And good work on the hat. So this is what these guys say to Elisha. And, you know, Elisha's, he's trying to walk in the things he's supposed to walk into. And here is this group of dudes who are probably going to kill him. Like, they probably aren't just saying, why don't you go on up? Like, we'll make you go on up. We're going to take you out. So this horde of young guys, and get ready. So here's what happens. Elisha looks at these guys, and he calls down a curse. He calls down a curse on them. Not making this up. Out of the woods, out of nowhere, come, this is what scripture says, two mama she-bears and maul 42 of the guys. Ha-ha, welcome to church. These two bears come out of nowhere and maul 42 Christophers out of nowhere. That's what happens. Christopher, thank you so much. Let's hear from Christopher. That's a weird story. That's a real weird story. I like that story because it's a weird story. Like, you get to like, and as I was chewing on that story, I was thinking, what does this story say to me? You know, when I run into a story like this, what does it say to me? I think it says this. When I am following God, when I am going after the things God has for me, and I might not feel totally confident, but okay, I'm going towards those things, I'm going to face opposition. We will face opposition. And now, I'm not saying that if somebody cuts you off in traffic, you can go, bears, whoom. I'm not saying, I don't think that's how God operates. But I am saying that when you face challenges, when you face adversity, it's on God to protect you, for God to provide his protection. God protects in these moments. So as you're going throughout your year and you're following God and you're facing adversity, turn to the Lord and go, God, will you protect me from whatever is coming after me? And I don't know what that means for you, but I bet you some of y'all know. Whatever that means, say, God, I'm counting on you to protect me. Now, keeping with our football theme, of course, what we have going there are, you know, bears. So there you go. There's the bears. We'll pull out one for each of these. Let's move on to our next story. This is in the book of 1 Kings, right there, 1 Kings. And this is a story about Elijah. So this is before Elisha. Elijah is walking along with the Israelites and more these evil kings. There's these kings and they just get more and more evil. And one of the worst kings of all is Ahab. And Ahab, if you've read Moby Dick, Melville cribbed this from the Bible. He stole it and didn't pay any royalties. So Ahab was probably one of the worst kings of the nation of Israel. And it says he did so much evil in the sight of the Lord. He married this terrible woman named Jezebel, who was not an Israelite. It was just a mess. And Ahab worshiped this fake god, Baal. There's a whole big drama around that. But God had it. God was so fed up with this king, Ahab. So he had his prophet, Elijah. He spoke to Elijah and he said this, "Hey, Elijah, I'm done. I gotta deal with this guy in a harsh way. So I'm going to cause a massive drought. It's going to stop raining. It's gonna stop raining here. No more rain, and that's gonna be tough for him, and we'll deal with things." And so Elijah goes to Ahab and says, "Okay, Ahab, God's real fed up with you. He's gonna stop it from raining, so you better come correct." So Elijah has to pull aside and come aside and just go, "Oh my word, what am I gonna do about this?" And so God says, "Here's what I want you to do. It's gonna stop raining, but I want you to go to this one ravine. I want you to sit by the ravine, and there's a brook there. And I want you to drink water from the brook. But it's not enough to have water. He also needs some food, so I need another volunteer. Somebody volunteer." "Yes, hi, come on up. Hey, is this Grace? Hey, come on up, Grace. Let's hear it for Grace. Oh my word. Why is today a big day for you?"
"I'm getting baptized."
"Grace is getting baptized today." "This is awesome. Okay, Grace, so here's what I need you to do. So I'm gonna be Elijah, and I'm drinking water from the brook. And God said, I'm gonna provide food for you every morning and every evening. But it came in a really weird way. He said, I'm gonna have a raven come and deliver the food, like DoorDash, deliver the food to you every morning. So I need you, you ready for this? Can you call real loud like a bird? Let's hear it. Like, caw, like that.
Caw.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm gonna need you to flap your wings also, okay? You ready? Now call real loud. 1, 2, 3. Oh, yes. Okay, so step over there. And now every morning, what it said is that this raven would bring him meat. That's a good looking cut of meat. So there's meat. That's a T-bone. And hold it up real high so everybody can see that. And also bread. I made a little pat of butter on there. So bread. Now I want you to bring them. So caw and bring the meat to me. Oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, let's hear the caw. Yeah. To bring them. And every morning he would get meat and bread, and then let's do it one more time. And of course, he get hungry at night, and his tummy's rumbling, and then all of a sudden, what shows up?
Caw.
Yeah, he brings more bread. That's it. It's here for Grace, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, Grace. God would provide every morning and every evening through a raven flying down, a raven, there you go. A raven flying down with bread and meat. Is that not incredible? Again, it's kind of a weird story though. You read, what am I supposed to do with that? And I read that first story, I really think it's about God protecting. Hey, I will go out of my way to protect. But as you're following God, you're gonna need provision. Maybe it's encouragement. Maybe it's actually financial provision. Maybe it's a direction. Maybe it's God. Who knows what that is? But as you're following God, it's on God to provide for you. And that provision, I don't think Elijah went, "Raven, bread, makes total sense." I bet he went, "Sounds a little weird, but I'll take it." You don't know through what means God will provide for you. So keep your eyes and ears open. He's got something good for you. So first story, it's on, as you're following God, it's on him to protect you. Second story, it's on God to also provide for you.
Preview.
That sound either means mom burnt the roast and the fire alarm went off, or it's halftime. That means it's halftime. And welcome to the Pepsi Halftime Show. Pepsi Halftime Show is brought to you by, I have to read this, Pepsi Zero Sugar. With no sugar, no calories, and no natural ingredients, Pepsi Zero Sugar is the great tasting way to decimate your kidneys and scramble your chromosomes. So here's what we're gonna do. for halftime show. I told you this is the weirdest church service you'll ever be at. So here's what we're gonna do for halftime show. You have an option. We're gonna through a little applause. I'll get through them all first, then we'll vote. And you got four options for a video that we get to watch. Quick 30-second video. So option number one, a chimpanzee riding on a Segway. Option two, a clip from a 1950s lunchroom manners film. Option three, a flying lawnmower set to a pop song. Or option four, lead pastor Ron Johnson doing announcements, but it's been dubbed in German, then clumsily subtitled back into English. So let's get our vote going. Number one, anybody want chimpanzee riding on a Segway?
Yes.
Anybody? Couple? Let's hear applause. Okay, we got some. Two, 1950s manners lunchroom film. A couple. Some of the older folks maybe had seen it before. A flying lawnmower set to a pop song. Anybody? Oh, wow. More than the other services. And number four, Ron Johnson doing announcements in German. But the people have voted. Let's give it to him.
Ja, guten Morgen, meine Damen und Herren. Ich war früher Musiker, Musikproduzent und im Internet Musik aktiv. Wir haben früher gesehen, dass diese Veränderung im digitalen Business total schmerzvoll war. Der gesehen haben bei der Musikindustrie, der Gedanke zu sagen, Musik sollte nicht in die Wolke ziehen. Werden sie uns zu menschlichen Nutzen gereichen?
There you go. You promised you'd come back next week. Next story, let's go back to the Bible. This is in 2 Samuel. And in the book of 2 Samuel, what we get a lot is the history of King David. And King David was the best king that Israel ever had. He was an awesome king. Scripture says that King David was a man after God's own heart. He followed after God. He was so much like God. And God blessed King David. And David led the Israelites and did all sorts of amazing, wonderful things, especially as they went into war against the people who were around them. God was with the Israelites. And what we get in 2 Samuel at the end is David is about to die. And so there's this, and he's dying of old age, and there's this history of these are all the exploits, the things that had happened. And we get this awesome passage in 2 Samuel 23 around his collection of what was called David's mighty men. These were these 37 guys who fought alongside King David. And these are cool dudes. These are power. This is his SEAL Team 6. This is his power team. These are the guys who fought alongside him. So we get all these little bit stories about some of these guys. They're called in Hebrew, they're called the Geborim, which is a really important term. This team, this Geborim, these powerful, powerful men who fought with David. And the one I want to zero in on is a guy named Benaiah. Let's all say Benaiah. One, two, three. Benaiah. Good. So Benaiah, I love this guy, Benaiah. And what we get in, the word Benaiah means Yahweh, God, builds up. So there is a strength and a power to this guy, Benaiah. And it says that, I'll just kind of read what it says. It's giving like his resume. And where it's going to end up is, and so he was David's chief bodyguard. King of Israel, how mighty and powerful do you have to be his chief bodyguard? So we sort of get his resume. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, I made that up, a valiant fighter from Gabzeel, performed great exploits. So let's hear him. This is kind of his LinkedIn profile. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. That's pretty good. Next, and he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear, John Wick. Like, that's some crazy stuff right there. He too was as famous as the three mightiest warriors of David's crew. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30, and David put him in charge as his bodyguard. But there's one line I skipped. I wanted to end with this line. And it's such a small line, but you can tell there's got to be a whole story here. We don't get it in the Bible, but we just get this line. So let's hear this about Benaiah. Benaiah also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion.
What?
Benaiah went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. I'm reading this book right now by a guy named Mark Batterson. He's a great, fun, cool author. And his book is called In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. And it's all about this story. And he unpacks it to talk to people about, hey, are you facing something that's daunting? Maybe here's some things we can draw from this story, this bit of a story. And so he reimagines the story a little bit. And he says, what was going on? What was possibly going on here? So you know what I'm going to do is, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to bring up my two daughters for this one. Little girls, come on up. They don't even know this. Come on up. Hey, this is Maymay in pink and Bomber in white. Let's wave at everybody. These are my daughters. Better behave, you understand? Okay, all right. So you know who you're gonna be? You're gonna be Benaiah, okay? Say, I'm Benaiah.
I'm Benaiah.
You sure are. And then, well, this is her, so I had to make, so yeah, there you go. It's, what's her name, Clumpy? What's it?
Chompy.
Chompy, right, Clumpy. So this is, you're gonna be the lion, okay? So we don't know what was going on in this story. We have no clue what was possibly going on in this story. But one way to imagine it is that Benaiah is, let's have you walking through the woods. So it's, not yet. Just cool your heels, pal. So Benaiah's walking along through the woods. And they must be at a high altitude in the Middle East for there to be snow. And so he's walking along. Come on, is this cute or what? And he's walking along through the snow. And it would, come on, go get scared. Go, because what, what? Wait, not yet. What does he see but a lion? Okay, yeah, there's a roar right there, and he's got zipper teeth, so you know he's dangerous. There's a lion right here. And so we're not real clear how this all plays out, but if I'm Benaiah, what I do is I go, and I run away. But that's not what Benaiah did. We don't know if he went, hang on, and he dug out a pit or something, or maybe there just happened to be a pit there. But somehow, Benaiah and this lion end up in the pit. So you guys fall in the pit. Okay, come over here. Benaiah is in the pit with a lion. This is all we had. So you've got your weapon. It's a sad lightsaber. It's like an old carrot. So he's got this, and he's going to fight this lion. So let's have him fight a little and yeah, that whole thing. And then let's slow-mo it. Okay, slow motion. So the lion jumps slow motion. And he's dead. So now Benaiah, okay, you're dead. Benaiah crawls up. No, he's still dead. You're thinking of Lazarus. So Benaiah crawls up out of the pit. And of course, he's covered in blood, some of his own blood and the blood of the lion, but he has faced off against a lion in triumph. Let's hear from all the girls. Get home. What Batterson says is we all have these things in our lives that are facing us down, and we have an option. These challenges, we can either go, you know what, I just got to get away from this. Or we can finally choose to face down the one thing that we have been scared of facing down. I don't know about you, but that's pretty much 2020 for me. I can already sense God has something in me going, you've been avoiding something, and I need you to face it, and face it with bravery, and face it with courage. So I think that first story is all about God protecting us. The second is about God providing for us. And in this, I see that if you're following God, he wants to give you courage. I don't know if you're like me, but when you err more towards fear than courage, that's when God steps up and says, take heart, I will be with you. I can give you the courage you need to finally face down the thing you've been scared to face down all of your life, those lions that are in your life. Look at this. Yeah, sure, it gets worse. All right. Next story, last story. So let's go to the book of Joshua. We're stepping backwards here. So there's Joshua. The nation of Israel has been released from Egypt by Moses. God has used Moses to lead the nation out. They're at the door of the promised land. Moses dies. Joshua is now their leader. They cross across that Jordan River. They go into the promised land. What God has said is, I need you Israels to start taking out the communities that are around there. Not because God's some mean God. These were awful communities, people who were child sacrifice, slavery, all sorts of awful things. Says they have to be cleared out so you can have this land and you can worship me directly. And so we get these war stories of the nation of Israel fighting these communities and winning, and amazing things happen. God, the story of Jericho, God's hand is clearly on them. And then we get this story, this odd little story here about this group of people called the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites lived very close to where the nation of Israel was. And the Gibeonites are looking around and they're going, oh man, we're about to get taken. We've heard what the Israelites are doing. We're about to get taken over. This is going to get really ugly. So the Gibeonites, they come up with a plan. I need somebody. Come on, anybody? Let's come on, stand up. Yeah, come on up. Who is that? Tiffany? Tiffany, yeah, let's hear for Tiffany. Chiefs or Niners, Tiffany?
Chiefs.
Oh, 49ers. All right, well. Yeah, God save you. So what Tiffany, the Gibeonites, they decide, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to trick the Israelites, and we're going to show up to them, and we're going to act like we're from real far away and get them to make a truce with us and say we won't fight them. They'll go, oh, they're so far away, they don't even matter. But how do we convince them that we're from far away? So what they do is they put on some old clothing, some old tattered clothing, and they change. Oh, those are shoes. Wow. My gosh. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't wear mine. That would have been awkward. They put on some sandals, old rugged sandals that look like they've been walking for miles and miles and miles. And then they take a big bag and they put this bag on. And in the bag, they put two things. They put old, crusty, dry, moldy bread and wineskins. Wineskins were these like canteen type things that were made out of animal hide. And we'll get really old ones. The idea being, when we show up, look how far we've come. We've come so far that our clothing is worn, all this stuff. So the Gibeonites show up, and here's Joshua and the Israelites, and they've just finished buying. They're on cloud nine, like everything's going great. They're doing well. And these Gibeonites show up, and they go, hey, will you make a truce with us? The Israelites go, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're not supposed to make a truce with anybody around here. And I mean, we gotta get everybody out. How do we know you're not from far away? So the Gibeonites, they go, well, look at our clothes. Like, I mean, would we have worn clothes? No, we've been walking for weeks. And look at our sandals. We've been walking so far, we've worn out the leather. And look at, they pull out bread and they go, look at this bread, it's dry and moldy. And then they, let's open this guy up. And then they pull out, they're like, our wineskin, this is all, you know, box wine. We have, look how old this box of, classy Gibeonites. This wine is so worn out. I mean, we couldn't, we clearly didn't just show up out of nowhere. And so the Israelites, they go, all right, you know what? We'll make a deal. We'll make a deal. We won't do anything to you. You don't do anything with us. You're obviously not a threat. You're clearly from far away. All right, let's hear it for Tiffany, everybody. Thank you. Odd little story, right? Kind of a weird little story. But what happens after that is they go, they do the full on, oh, that, wow, that did hurt. They go, they are from close by. And now they have this problem because this nation is way too close and they have not done what God told them to do. Now they have to, it's a whole big deal about what they have to do with this community of people because they're true to their word. They make a truce with them. They're like, well, we will not fight you. And it's a great story because what God says is, hey, I know you're on cloud nine. I know you're doing great. I know you got some momentum. Everything's going great. But you have to always turn back to me for wisdom. You have to always turn back to me. If they would have just paused and turned to God and gone, God, what do you say? Do we make a truce or not? God would have communicated to them, no, no. He would have given them what the biblical term is discernment in that moment. And I think they gave up on that. And I don't know if you're like me, but when life starts going well for me, kind of hitting my stride, doing some good things. I don't know, work's going, family. Oh man, I'm doing things. You know what I stop doing? I stop turning to God as much. I go, I'll get you when I'm in trouble. And I just kind of keep going the way I'm going. And I've, my daughter's like that. I've got to always pause and go, you know what? I have got to turn to God and always ask for wisdom and discernment. That first story, when you're following God, He says, I will protect you. And when you're following God, He says, I will provide for you. Maybe not in the way you expect, but I will provide for you. And when you're facing down those challenges in your life, those lions, He says, I will give you courage if you turn to me. And at every turn, when you ask, it says, God will give wisdom without finding fault, it says in the Bible. That if we need wisdom, if you need discernment, don't just go, I'll just do whatever comes natural. That doesn't work. Pause in every day and go, God, what do you have? Give me wisdom. Help me to see what's going on here more clearly. Now, I could have grabbed a bunch of stories from the Bible. Oh, by the way, I missed that. That, of course, they packed up their bags and came. I know it's a stretch. 49ers, best I could find was that in the Old Testament, they talk about after 7 years and 7 years, seven sets of years, 49 years, there's a year of Jubilee when the land goes back to the people. God's very generous. You see chiefs all in the Bible, the chiefs of the families of the nation of Israel, God deals with those people. Even the Broncos are in the Bible. In Isaiah, it talks about the nation of Israel, when they went into the promised land, they were like wild horses. They were like Broncos. And being from Houston, I found this, a lot of really smart Bible scholars, when they see that word God's chosen people, they'll translate directly as Texans. So that's in there. Colorado is great. You just have too many Californians. And then, but the good news for all of this is that you will not find the Patriots in the Bible whatsoever. So there you go. Let's finish with this. So God protects, God provides, God gives courage, God gives wisdom. And then we're going to jump to the New Testament in Ephesians. And Ephesians, this is a book of the Bible. This is Paul writing to Jesus followers. Paul was a Jesus follower. He's writing to Jesus followers. This is my favorite passage in all of the Bible. And this is what he says. For this reason, he's talked about a bunch of stuff until now. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We all come from God. And I'm praying that God, out of his glorious riches, he'll do this. He'll strengthen you with power, like Benaiah, through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ can dwell in your hearts through faith. And this is what I will sit on for the rest of my life. This may be on my tombstone one day. And I pray that you would be rooted and established in love, God's love. And you may have power together with all the saints. I saw, there you go, Saint Brent out there. Saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And he makes a little joke here. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, meaning to know the love that is so big you'll never know it. Know it even though you can't know it, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's right, amen. So you may know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. When you follow God into this year, he will protect, he will provide, he will give you courage, he will give you wisdom, but above all these things, he will give love in his son, Jesus. I don't know what your tradition is, but a lot of us grew up with the idea of a saint was some sort of holy person who had done some miracle and oh, just these. That's not the idea of saints in the Bible. You know who the saints are? You. But I'm a sinner. No, you're not. Not in Jesus. In Jesus, he says, you are my holy ones. You are my saints. You are the set apart ones. Because of Jesus, not because of anything you did, because of Jesus and his love for you, you are made holy. You know who the saints are? They are the ones who have been so consumed by the love and grace and gospel of Jesus that they are transformed. That's what we see in baptism. That's what we saw in the earlier service with Kevin. We're seeing this with grace. It's baptism is when you go, you know what? It's a symbol of the old way of me trying so hard to do things and get God's approval. That's dead. And I am coming out of the water, a new creation, identifying with Jesus and receiving every good thing Jesus has for me in the cross. That's the gospel. And I'll extend the same invitation Ron did. If you are like, I think I want to get baptized today, run back there, get changed, get baptized. It's a great way to go. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I want everyone to know that. You follow God this year, he will protect. He will provide. He will give courage. He will give wisdom. And he will give love. Be moved by his love. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. God, I bless you that you are good and kind and you are even fun. You are generous And I pray a blessing over everybody in this room that they would follow you this year and enjoy following you this year and get all the provision, protection, wisdom, courage, and love they need from you. I pray that for all of us here. Help us to take you up on your offers. In Jesus' name, amen.